again, internet listeners. We are back with another rendition of the Entertainment Center, Pop Culture Network's movie and television podcast. I am your host, Legion. Here with me again is J-Raz, and a special guest this week, Political Agenda, will be joining us. Say hi, guys.
How you doing? This is J-Raz.
What up? You know me. You normally know me from the podcast or Wrestling Classics, Classic Wrestling.
And you used to write up a review of Raw and TNA before you stopped caring about TNA.
I tried.
I was entertained.
Did anyone ever really care about TNA?
I did back circa 2004.
Oh, about the same time Jeff Jarrett did.
Yeah. All right, well, as we always do, we'll get the show started off with wrestling talk for no reason whatsoever. And now let's dive into some movie news. We have a lot to talk about this episode, and most everything is comic book movie related. It looks like there's been lots of news circling around several projects for that. So let's open up, I guess, with the Spider-Man casting. Did you guys hear the news on that? All right,
I have no idea who he is.
No, neither do I. Mark Webb's new Spider-Man, the reboot of the franchise, coming out in 2012 or 13. 2012, I believe it is.
Yeah.
They have picked their Spider-Man. It's a kid by the name of Andrew Garfield. I say kid, he's probably like 24, 25.
I think he's 23 or 20. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It doesn't matter. He's got to look like a kid, otherwise he can't play Peter Parker.
That's true.
In high school, at least.
Yeah, they're going back to high school with this one. They're doing the whole 3D treatment, all that stuff. But if you go around and look for some pictures of the kid, he's definitely got the young look to him, you know, despite how old he may or may not be. But without knowing much about him, I know he had a pretty decent role, I think, in the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
I think he's British.
I super didn't see that movie.
No. I heard decent things about it, and as soon as this kid got cast, I moved it to the top of my Netflix queue, but it'll still be a little bit before I get to actually watch it, hopefully by next episode. Take a look around the internet. You can find pictures of him pretty easily. They had a big press conference, and, you know, Mark Webb and all the Marvel guys, and all of them were there.
High-fiving and snubbing me.
Yeah, I thought that was a fake picture because they had a Spider-Man logo. Not really logo, but the webbing behind them. I'm like, that's a cool Photoshop. Oh, it's real.
Yeah.
A big announcement, apparently.
Yeah, they make a big deal out of these kind of things, you know, movies that make
sometimes
$300 and $400 million without even trying. But, and again, like I said, go out there and take a look at the kid, see what you think. Let us know if you think he'll be any good or not. And I think he's also, is he in that Social Network movie coming out?
I just watched the trailer, I have no idea.
I believe he is.
Okay, yeah, I think so.
Justin Timberlake is in it.
Yeah.
And the guy who's in everything, Jesse something or other, is in it.
The kid, Eisenberg.
Yeah.
The kid from Zombieland, and it doesn't matter what else, because he was in Zombieland, so he wins.
But that movie actually doesn't look terrible.
No, it looks pretty interesting. The Social Network.
Yeah,
I don't know. No movie looks terrible in the trailers. Like any. Well, that's not true. There are plenty of movies that look terrible.
Yeah,
in the trailers,
I was about to say.
I'm saying what I meant to say was any movie can look awesome in a trailer.
Yeah. Well, trailer I also watched was Faster, which I wasn't impressed with, but Political Agenda loved.
And what is that?
With the Rock, the Rock's new one.
Oh, excellent!
Yeah. It kind of looks like the Rock in the Fast and the Furious. Although I think The Rock is going to be in the new Fast and the Furious, which is going to be awesome. But the preview doesn't give a lot to the plot or anything, but it looks like an action movie, so I'm juiced for The Rock to return to action.
All right, yeah, no kidding right there. And I got to tell you, I'm probably going to fire my research staff because I've got a whole sheet of notes sitting here in front of me for things to talk about this episode, and The Rock isn't on here once.
I would fire him right now.
You mean them. It's very extensive.
Research staff. Yes.
It's not just J-Raz.
Most of the staff, though.
Let's go back to this list that is apparently very incomplete. And talk about more of the casting news from the comic book world real quick. Something I'm really excited about, even though I have no idea who he's playing, but they've officially cast Kevin Bacon as a villain in the new X-Men movie.
X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
The guy who did Kick-Ass is the guy who's directing.
Yeah,
so
Matthew
really
Vaughn did Layer Cake as well. Was supposed to do X-Men 3 for a while, and apparently he read the script and decided not to.
Well, they went the wrong way anyways. Whoever directed that.
I'm still disappointed that they didn't cast Val Kilmer as the Blob. That's what I was looking for.
Is it because he's a good actor or because he's fat now?
A little
bit
of both.
Well, both.
Of course. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. And
they announced a bunch of the cast, but they're all a bunch of no-names.
Yeah, a lot of it is. I can't remember her name now. The girl from She's Out of My League is rumored to play
Mystique.
The White Queen. I was reading earlier today, but she was one of the more notable people on that entire list, and that's not very notable.
The White Queen. You mean Emma Frost, the chick that turned to diamonds in the Wolverine movie?
Yes.
Was that Emma Frost?
That's what the trailer always said.
Yeah,
every time the trailer played, it showed that chick turning into diamonds, and it'd be like, Emma Frost. And they were just trying to plug the movie up with as many superhero names as they could.
Exactly. They were just trying to fill as many memorable or names you might recognize in there as they could. It's not one of those. But this one's going back in time anyway, so who knows what they're going to do.
Oh, James McAvoy's in it. He's Professor X.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a name.
Yep, and then they have Magneto cast also, but he was one of the guys from that last Quentin Tarantino movie.
Inglourious Bastards?
Yes, yeah, I forget the name.
Still never saw it, so I can't help you.
Don't.
Okay,
yeah,
good enough.
I'd probably safer for that way. It's unless you're expecting completely not anything that they advertise that movie to be.
Okay.
If you're expecting nothing like the previews say, then you might be happy with it, but...
What was the name of the guy who won the Oscar?
Christoph Wentz?
Even he was worth watching that movie for, and he was the only watchable part of that movie.
Everyone's like, he was amazing.
He was.
Yeah, I thought he was great.
He was.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, but he doesn't justify watching that movie.
Okay. I won't go see it, I promise.
And then another big comic book bit around the internet now is that they finally have some photos of Green Lantern. In costume.
It
was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, and it's all CG'd.
Ew.
And, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how I feel about it, really. I mean, I'm not super upset with the green. I mean, it's green, and it's got the lantern on it, so I guess it covers the absolute basic necessities. But it just kind of has a weird look to me. But granted, I haven't seen it in action at all. It's just been an above-the-waist shot on the cover of a magazine with tons of words and everything else blocking the view.
As if there's something below the waist that could change your mind.
Well, no, I'm just saying, though.
Look
it's
at
not
those
like
boots! Yes!
Maybe
I am sold.
Maybe they're very high-end boots. They could really bring the outfit together.
They could be Stingray.
They could. Exactly.
Do you have the bucks for them boots?
Well, what do you guys think of the look of the costume so far?
I like it. I'm kind of juiced for that movie.
I'll watch the movie for sure. I don't know anything about Green Lantern. You guys are like, he has a name. I'm like, cool. But outside of that, I got nothing.
Hal Jordan is his name.
I got nothing.
Yeah, they're going with the Hal Jordan itineration of Green Lantern in, for the movie. And I can't say I'm not excited for the movie. I definitely am, but. I just think that Ryan Reynolds' involvement, for once, is kind of a deterrent, to me at least. I think they had talked about using Ryan Reynolds for a Flash movie, and he would have been perfect for that. I think he's really good for the Deadpool role. I don't think Hal Jordan is all that funny, and I don't want to see Ryan Reynolds all that straight-laced, so I'm just kind of wondering how they're going to play the character, you know?
Yeah, well, they're changing all the characters to be more marketable and less traditional. You know what I mean? So, like, with the exception of Wolverine, you can't change that character. But
you can make him lame and terrible like the new movie was.
Yeah, well, the movie was, but that Wolverine character I still like.
I don't know.
The movie surrounding him, I wasn't too impressed with.
The CG claws looked fake. And
The claws did look terrible in a number of scenes.
Action scenes weren't very good.
Yeah, well, in fairness, though, you watched a print of it before the action scenes were actually completed.
Then I rewatched the actual movie. Thank you.
Your view was already tainted as well. So.
True.
Yeah.
So. Ryan Reynolds was awesome, though.
So was
that Creed character.
Oh,
They never called him Sabretooth, but the Sabretooth character.
Victor Creed, Leif Schreiber. Yeah, Leif Schreiber's great in everything, which is why it upsets me that he's in Salt. Because I really don't want to see that movie.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor is in that too.
Yeah, I know. A whole bunch of people who I want to see in a movie are in that movie, and so is Angelina Jolie. And I'm just lost on it.
You don't want to see that?
No.
It looks not that good at all.
No, that doesn't look very good. Man, are we good at getting off topic? With
it's
movies.
It's a movie and TV podcast. You're right.
But I want to focus on why I'm scared for Green Lantern. Because I'm really scared that with Ryan Reynolds in there, that they're going to just try to make Hal Jordan Tony Stark because Iron Man made money. And I don't want to see that.
I do, because I don't know enough about the character to bastardize it would upset me, because it wouldn't.
Well...
I'm the majority here.
I think
most people aren't. Most people aren't Green Lantern fans. Going, oh, he better play it straight laced. You know,
true. And I don't think they'll. I'm sure there'll be a bit of that tint, and I'm sure that's why they picked Ryan Reynolds. And I'm okay with that because I was always bored by the Hal Jordan character and the Green Lantern in general. So, like, if they spice him up a little bit. Maybe I'll like him a little better.
Yeah. And I won't, you know, if they spice him up a little bit, I'll be totally fine with it. I just don't want to see it.
I would compare it to... Because I think I remember when Daredevil was coming out, they were worried that they were going to make Daredevil more like Spider-Man than he should have been according to the comics. And that, you know, and Ben Affleck did fine. And Daredevil, you know, he wasn't like the... Like, I didn't read a whole lot of Daredevil comics, but...
That's okay, no one does.
But, you know, that was one of my favorite movies.
What?
So...
Like, yeah, ever, or in comic book, or what?
In comic books. Okay. Of the superhero ones that they've released.
Really?
Yeah, I really like it.
I like you less now.
No, you're in the minority here, Jay, right?
And you're wrong.
In this circle here, most people don't like that movie, though.
Big fan of Daredevil.
I liked Bullseye. Does that count?
Really? That's the part you liked?
Yeah, I thought he was good.
All right.
Back to the Green Lantern, though.
Yeah, well, and that was just my point. I'm just kind of scared how goofy they want to take him, you know. But like you said, maybe if they just spice him up a little bit. And I'm the first one to jump on board with most superhero casting, because no matter who it is, everyone always gets scared.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can trace back to is the Michael Keaton syndrome. You know, in 89 when Batman was coming out and the mass opinion was, how in the world are they going to get Mr. Mom to play Batman? And then it came out and everyone loved it, you know. Yeah. So, hopefully good things will come out of that.
We can talk about the uncasting news of Robin Williams wanting to be in Batman 3.
Oh, yeah. That was a neat little interview thing. And I don't know how much credence you want to put into that. It wasn't like official... Batman news or anything, but there was an interview with Robin Williams where he had mentioned how willing he would be to work with Christopher Nolan again, and how he would love to take on a role as the Riddler in the third Batman.
When did he work with Christopher Nolan before?
Insomnia.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably it.
Oh, super didn't see that movie.
Okay. No, it was pretty good.
Oh,
I liked it.
Legion.
Yeah.
Our PBM saw it.
Anyways, he just mentioned, it was funny how he mentioned it in the interview, too, because he said he would, you know, he would love to play the Riddler, so if they want him, just call him. But he said, if you're going to offer me the role, it better be legitimate, though, because this would be the third time that he had been offered a part in a Batman movie and had it not work out, because apparently they had talked to him pretty strongly for the Joker role and then just gave it to Jack Nicholson, which, you know, kudos to them, very, very good move there. And then they talked to him very strongly for the Riddler in Batman Forever, and then just turned around and gave it to Jim Carrey. So that was the point of his little, quirky little comment in that interview was, you know, if you want to offer it to me, I'll take it, but if you're going to offer it to me, you better offer it to me, because I don't want to hear from you if you don't actually want me. So, but that could be, you know, and Robin Williams has done more and more dramatic stuff over the last few years. I think the fear of him taking a role like that would be that it would be way too goofy for a Christopher Nolan Batman movie, but I think that would all be in Nolan's hands at the end of the day, you know? I think if something like that were to happen, which I'm 100% sure it won't, but if that were to happen, I don't think you would get the Riddler that everyone would expect up until opening day, you know? I think they would take it way more straight-laced than anybody would expect out of a Robin Williams Riddler. But moving on with uncasting news... we can go right into the Edward Norton debacle going on with the Hulk right now.
Or the Avengers, at least.
Yeah, the Hulk character for the Avengers movie. And that's another one. Norton is officially out, and they're looking for replacements for him.
Yeah.
I guess they're eyeing Mark Ruffalo pretty strongly now, which would be neat.
I'm okay.
The whole Norton story is just weird to me, though.
He's
because
just a
again,
weird guy.
Well, he is. He is very...
like,
and,
he claimed he wrote the entire movie or something.
He wrote a lot of Incredible Hulk, I think. Well, I think they were rewrites, but yeah. Still, I mean, the way they credit stuff like that, I'm sure you... I mean, he was responsible for a good chunk of it. He did a lot of work on that movie. And there, I heard stories when that came out about how he wanted it edited a certain way, and then yeah. The director in the studio wanted it a different way, so... You know, he got mad and went and edited a version himself just to show it to him, and they were like, that's great, but we're still going to use ours. You know, and it was weird, you know, neither him nor the director came out with any true grievances against each other, but there seemed to be a lot of weird tension. And then now this story breaks because, and again, you know, most of my information comes from internet entertainment sites, so you have no idea what's actually going on in these meetings, but from what I am to understand... Edward Norton had a meeting with Marvel. They, you know, wanted to pursue him possibly doing it again. He sat down with Joss Whedon, director of the Avengers, and apparently those two hit it off pretty well, and everybody wanted to do it. And next thing you know, Marvel is making the announcement that he's completely out of the project. He thought they were still in contract negotiations, trying to set a price, all that stuff. It hasn't turned into a heated argument. Norton's publicist came out and was pretty upset with the way that the news broke because he thought it was unfair to Norton and painted him in a bad light. Norton himself posted something on his Facebook or his Twitter or something along those lines saying, you know, hey, we all wanted it to happen. It's not going to happen. No big deal. You know, we'll just move on. So it doesn't seem like there's a big heated debate or anything going on, but that's where it stands right now. Norton's out. Ruffalo's the only name I keep seeing come up. Mark Ruffalo's currently in The Kids Are All Right, and has been in. He does a lot of indie work and a lot of smaller side roles. He's one of those guys, I'm sure you've seen him before, but it may not be anything you directly remember him because he's usually not, you know, the main star of a movie or anything. But he's got that kind of look to him, mild-mannered enough. I mean, I'm sure he could do the role fine, but... You know, you got a guy the caliber of Edward Norton in a movie as good as The Incredible Hulk was, and anything you come up with, in my opinion, is going to be, you know, a little disappointing. However, I can't also imagine Bruce Banner being a huge part of an Avengers movie. Yeah. I mean, the Hulk maybe being a big part, but Banner himself, I wouldn't think would be.
You wouldn't think, especially not if they're coming off of the uncontrollable Hulk of the, you know, of the most recent movie.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
You know, and they had that scene at the end where he was, you know, they're trying to tell you he's learning to gauge his powers and everything, but still, at the same time, you got so many characters running around him, you're going to have a minimum of Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, Hulk will be in there probably, Black Widow, I'm sure, will come back, Nick Fury. With all these characters running around, you're not going to have a whole lot of time to just, you know, have an expose on Bruce Banner.
Like Edward Norton anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So mostly, I figure if that character's in there at all, he's going to be CGI. So I guess it's not really that big of a deal.
I'll CGI
in the
a bunch
place.
Of Mark Ruffalo in.
Wow. You mean a bunch of, you mean like him in a lot of scenes, or just a bunch of Mark Ruffalo's running around?
I hope it's really terrible CGI like The Rock from Mummy Returns. That was the worst CGI ever.
That's not fair.
No. Is it? No, I think it is.
I wouldn't say worst ever, but moving on. Well, let's talk about some movies in theaters now. I know we kind of brought up last episode. We had talked about Inception coming out. It is out now. Two of us have seen it, so we should probably talk about it.
Yes.
Political Agenda. What'd you think?
I think it's the best movie of the year.
The best movie of the
best
year.
Best movie of the year, and best movie that's going to come out this year. I liked it better than Avatar.
Okay. Well, Avatar technically was last year.
Well, I'm saying I was just... Well, those were supposed to be two separate statements.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I was not, in fact, trying to link them together, but...
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you in a little bit. I absolutely loved Inception. Yeah. I think most people did. I think most people expected to. It kind of...
Yeah, that's kind of a thing that's almost, like, disappointing, because, like, you know, like... I run to people and they're like, Inception is awesome. And they're like, yeah, I figured it would be. I'm like, okay.
I thought it would be, and I haven't seen it. And so you guys are reaffirming what I already thought.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend did the same thing. I was like, Inception's amazing. I'm so taking you to see it. And she's like, I know what it's going to be. I'm like, okay.
Has she seen it? Did she like it?
I haven't taken her yet.
Okay. Yeah, same with my fiance. I'm going to get her out there as soon as possible because I think she'll really enjoy it. But, I haven't really gotten much of a female perspective on it. However, everyone I've talked to has liked it just the same. It's starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Caine, has a cameo in it.
Juno.
Juno's in it. why can't I remember her name?
Right Ellen now? Page.
Ellen Page. Okay, thank you.
I just like Juno better.
Thank you, research department.
I'm R&D.
Tom Hardy is in it. Ken
who?
Watanabe.
Wait, who?
Tom Hardy was in...
Ken Watanabe.
I know who that is.
The guy from...
Everything. What?
Oh, that was Michael Tanabe. So.
Yeah. Tom Hardy from Layer again. Cake and some other movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. So.
Yeah, it's good.
Is he related to Matt and Jeff?
No.
I don't know who he is otherwise.
No, not
Matt
at all.
Matt and Jeff Watanabe?
Yes. That down to Watanabe.
And we spiral out of control. All right, if there's any listeners left, back to Inception.
Awesome.
Yeah, just a great movie.
Gordon Levitt. There you go.
Joseph Gordon Levitt was awesome in that movie.
I've been saying that for years.
Well, yeah, well, a lot of people have.
No, and just me. Literally, I'm his only fan.
Disagree.
I think John Lithgow likes him.
Maybe. I'll ask him next time I see him.
I've liked him ever since 10 Things I Hate About You.
I liked him way before that. He was in some crazy Amish movie with some hot chick. I don't know anything else about it, but he was in it. And then he was in Third Rock.
Yeah, Third Rock from the Sun is the old sitcom that I think a lot of America knows Joseph Gordon-Levitt from. Last year he was also in 500 Days of Summer, which was a movie I was very, very fond of.
Yeah, you loved that movie.
Oh, love that movie. And also G.I. Joe, which not so
kind
much.
Kind of in that movie.
Well, I mean, he was in it.
I don't think that was him the whole time.
Not the whole time, but he was. Did you see the movie?
No. I mean, I don't think he was the actor playing the person behind the mask. Is what I'm saying. I think that was someone else.
Well, regardless, he was actually in other parts too.
Yes, that's all the other parts.
I don't know if you're trying to argue with me whether or not he was in G.I. Joe.
No, I think kind of in.
So I mean, he's up and coming. I think this movie will do nothing but good for him. It's just, I don't want to get into too many spoilers, and it's hard to talk about because it's one of these, you know, kind of mind altering movies. But basically, there's a technology that allows people to share dreams, and Leonardo DiCaprio runs a crew of guys who can infiltrate people's dreams and basically steal information from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they get hired to attempt to implant an idea rather than remove an idea.
Gotcha.
And that's, you know, where the action comes from. And it's a really neat premise. It was really well put together. A lot of fun. It's kind of one of those. It's one of those brain-bending movies that really isn't so much.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a Memento where you really got to think the whole time. It feels like that, but it's at the same time, you know, easy to follow.
Yeah.
So I think it's like more of a layman's brain-bending movie. Really,
Cillian Murphy is the main guy they're going after.
Okay. Yeah,
that's what it looked like from the trailer.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention him too. He was very good in it as well. Tom Berenger makes a small cameo.
Don't know who that is.
He's in Major League and lots of other movies.
Okay,
but mostly I know him from Major League.
Okay,
the catcher Jake Taylor.
Mm-hmm. that guy.
But yeah, it's the action is intense. The acting is top notch. The direction is, you know. There's nothing bad to say about any aspect of this movie, really. I don't think it's an absolute perfect movie by any means, but I think in a slow of a summer as we've had, it's definitely the best thing that's come out this year as far as being new and innovative and just thoroughly entertaining. I think maybe it came in a little bit longer than it could have. I think it runs right about 2:45. Yeah, well, I mean, with trailers and everything at least.
Yeah.
And at no point, I can't think of anything directly I would cut out, and at no point does it particularly feel like it's running long or anything.
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of one of those trends where we probably could have cut a good 15 minutes out of, you know, bit here and bit there out of that movie and never noticed the difference.
Yeah.
But, nothing bad to say about it at all, just a terrific movie. And then another thing I saw since the last podcast I wanted to talk about was Toy Story 3.
Still have not seen it.
Yeah, it's another one. And I don't know if those are up your alley or not.
Technically, I haven't actually seen Toy Story 2. So I'm way back at 1 still. And I saw that when I was a kid when it came out. So I've kind of grown up with the movies, but just neglected the second and third.
So you've seen 1?
Yes, I have seen 1.
All right.
1 was fantastic.
Yeah, 1 was great. 2 was very good. 3, I think, might actually be my favorite of the series. And, you know, it's been a long time since the first two came out, so maybe that's got something to do with them. You know, I've seen them recently, but at the same time, they're still older in my mind, while 3 is fresh, you know, and new things are always enjoyable. But it seemed to have a lot of homages to other movies and other film types, The way they shot the storyline, it was reminiscent of lots of old, escape movies, or there's scenes mm-hmm. of big action, except obviously it's a cartoon full of toys,
yeah.
But it's got the same feel to it that you would see at some of these, much more serious things. And it's always neat to do that little genre mix thing.
Mm-hmm.
Performances were good as always. It's just, I'm not usually a huge cartoon guy. Even these Pixar movies, I like them all, but people would put a lot of credence into some of these. Like Up got a Best Picture nomination last year. I wasn't upset by that, but I never would have put it there.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Up, but I never thought of it as any kind of groundbreaking thing that was changing the way I watched movies for 2009
yeah.
or anything. But Toy Story 3 right now is definitely on my top five. It might even be number two. For the year so far, I just really, really, really enjoyed that one. For whatever reason.
Did you see Despicable Me? That's getting good reviews and
making
lots of money.
Yeah, I haven't yet. I would like to.
I want to see that just because of the cast.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody who's in it.
Steve Carell and Jason Segel are both really mm-hmm. funny and in it, and it just looks kind of fun. Those little minions look entertaining enough.
Yeah,
and little cute kid actors or the kid characters, I guess, look very funny. So I really want
to
see it.
Yeah, it looks like a good one. I'm hoping to get out to see it, too. And they have that, too. They have that that Best Buy app for the Android phones. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Where you can download an app from Best Buy, and it's supposed to translate those little yellow guys. And the theater here in town, they've got a poster hanging up that's got the little barcode, so you can just walk up to it and scan it with your phone and then walk right in and get that thing. So I kind of, just for the gimmick of that alone,
just
for another excuse to play with my phone, I wouldn't mind running by to see that. But
you got a new phone recently.
I
did. Watch movies on it.
I'm running with the Droid X, and that's a subject for another podcast as well. But if we did tech reviews on this site, then, man, we'd be gushing over this thing because it's nice. So everybody go out and get one and listen to our podcast on it.
Yes, because we can do that.
Yeah, you can. You totally can. All right, then we got... there's more shots of Thor and Odin out there online as well. Anthony Hopkins. I think some of Loki.
Mm-hmm.
I've panned through some of them. I didn't see any action shots or anything.
That's a lot of standing around.
I haven't seen the helmet yet or anything, but more full shots of like you said, standing around, maybe conversations and whatnot. And they all look neat.
Yeah.
I'm getting more and more excited about that movie too. And they, again, like you with Green Lantern, Thor's one of those guys I don't know very much about. I've never been a huge Thor fan, but with the way Marvel movies have been running and the track they're on, with the build up towards the bigger things and the mm-hmm. combination of the Avengers and all that stuff, and with Kenneth Branagh, who I'm a big fan of, being at the helm, I think a lot of people are probably going to be surprised by this, because I think Thor's one of those guys people don't put a lot of credit into, but similar with the way Iron Man was. Nobody really cared much about Iron Man until that movie came out.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr. wowed audiences
by being Robert Downey Jr.
And I think we might, it won't be the same thing with Thor, obviously, because the character itself is nowhere near as entertaining. But I think that, along those similar lines of surprise, I think a lot of people are going to like this movie.
Hopefully. Should be good.
Yeah. And then I think we're wrapping up with a lot of our movie news. Like I said, completely dominated by comic book. Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Thank you, research department. We do have a couple more things we wanted to talk about real quick. Avatar will be re-released on August 27th, only in 3D and with additional footage.
7 minutes.
7 minutes, all right. Bringing the total running time up to 11 hours.
11 hours and 7 minutes?
7 minutes, yeah. No. I'm excited for that, just to see it in 3D again. I think that movie, I was a huge, huge fan of Avatar, as many people were. Again, we're on the internet, so I'm sure most of our listeners loved it.
Or saw it, at least, and have an opinion one way or another.
Yeah. The 3D effects, I think it'll be a long time before 3D is touched in the way that Avatar did it.
Technically, it's supposed to be touched by Afterlife, the new
Resident Evil
movie.
Yeah,
same exact technology that
they
used.
And I'm hoping, I can't picture whoever's making the Resident Evil 4 is going to put quite the care and detail that James Cameron did into Avatar. But, we'll see. The technology may be all that you need. It may completely speak for itself. We'll see how it goes. But I'll be there on August 27th. I'd like to see it again.
just to see it in the 3D again in that effect, because I think it'll be a long time before it's, you know, you're able to really do. Even with 3D TVs, I don't trust the technology of the home market enough to really recreate that.
Or the Nintendo 3DS.
Yes, which would just be too small. But
your phone needs 3D.
Yeah, any time now. I'm sure that's what the next model will be. And then I wanted to bring up also, James Gammon died last Friday. A lot of people probably don't know him by name, but he's another guy I'm sure you've seen. Most famous for playing Coach Lou Brown in Major League and its first sequel.
Yep.
Did a lot of character work. I know he was on Nash Bridges for several years. He was one of the characters in Cabin Boy.
Really?
Yeah. And tons of little things like that. Wanted to bring him up because I know one of my all-time favorite movies is Major League, as you can probably tell by the fact that I've already brought it up twice in this podcast. So just to get, you know, give a shout out to him and his career, take a look at some of the stuff he's done, and just remember James Gammon fondly, I guess.
I do.
Yeah, and then you wanted to talk about Book of Eli, didn't you?
Yeah, just because it's a movie I have it in Redbox recently. You said it was one of those movies you kind of have to enjoy watching it nonstop. Me, with a five-month-old at home, I watched it for about 30 minutes, had to stop it. Later that night, I got another 20 minutes in, had to stop it. Watched another like 10 minutes a little later on, stopped again. And then the next morning, I finished it. And I'm like, I don't know, I don't think I liked that too much. I mean, yeah. It seemed like a good movie. Denzel Washington's a great actor. It seemed quick, like maybe it was shorter than I thought it might be. I couldn't really tell how long it was. Again, watching it in seven different sittings makes it difficult to judge time.
I think that really has a lot of effect on the way you viewed it. And you know, and I have met plenty of people who weren't very impressed by it, but I met a lot who were as well. I think it's one of those where you just kind of have to... I think watching it choppy like that, you lose a lot of the effect they're going for.
Yeah.
Because they're building a certain world and a certain story, you know, about the journey that Eli, the title character, played by Denzel Washington, is on. And I think if you break that up into chunks like that, I have a very good feeling that you're just going to lose a lot of the meaning behind it, you know. And
yeah.
As with a lot of movies, it's not simply a series of scenes. There's actually, you know, a story they're trying to build that has a lot of flow to it,
yeah.
That I think if you chunk it up like that. So if you ever get the chance and you haven't been tainted too much in opinion against it already, try to sit down and watch it maybe when you have a 10-month-old running around instead of a 5-month-old.
I enjoyed the action sequences. They were pretty good. Denzel Washington was very capable as an action star. I enjoyed the ending. I don't want to call it a shocker, but I mean, it had definitely kind of a neat ending to it.
Yeah, I thought so. And I think that a lot of the people who didn't like it, I think, didn't get that or didn't particularly like the ending, and that's what it was. So I'm kind of surprised that you did
and still didn't
like the movie. But again, I think a lot of it has to do with flow, because I really enjoyed it, I know.
And Mila Kunis is hot.
She seemed a little bit out of place,
being
that attractive in such a post-apocalyptic, ugly world.
Yeah, definitely.
But, and then watching Gary Oldman as the bad guy again, which we haven't seen in years, was just a hoot.
He did great.
Yeah.
I will say recommend it, even though I wasn't a huge fan and didn't get the full experience, but it's definitely worth seeing. It's probably a lot better than The Road. Another post-apocalyptic movie.
With Viggo
Mortensen and a little kid and attractive lady. I'm bad at names right now.
Excellent. Well, we're getting this note thing down. We're just not perfected yet. But we're going to cut off on the movie news for now. We're going to go to a quick commercial, and we will be back to talk about Emmy nominations, Dexter casting, and all things television. So stick with us.
Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else, from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
And we're back to talk about some television news. And J-Rez, I'll let you get started on this one.
Okay, where do you want me to start?
Let's start with Dexter.
Dexter, okay. We mentioned some casting on our first inaugural podcast last week, or whenever it went up, and I kept going, Julia Stiles and some other people and names, because I'm a half-tard, but I actually got the names this time, and we could talk about those people and what we like about them.
Excellent. So besides Julia Stiles, who's going to be in Dexter this season?
Sean Hotsey. You're better named than I am.
Hattisey, I believe.
Hattisey. He is the guy from the Faculty. He played the quarterback, kind of the quasi-main character, and he was also an alpha dog.
Yeah, that's okay. Now I remember. Yeah, when you said the Faculty and then Alpha Dog, I've been trying to place who was in both of those movies. But now that you say the quarterback, I think I do remember that kid. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy who killed Chekhov in the Alpha Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. Sorry for those of you who are waiting years to see this movie. So I'm happy about him. I think he plays a cop, if I'm remembering correctly. Jason Lee Miller, also
Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah.
From Hackers, and yes. Most recently Eli Stone, which is what excites me. I was a big Eli Stone fan it was on. Wish it had stayed. But do you know what he's playing or what he's doing?
Not exactly. It was all red, and I should have wrote it down, but I was like, I got their names now, and I got excited. But they're cast and stuff.
That's our research department.
It's me. Peter Weller, best known for his role as RoboCop.
Best known as RoboCop. Yep. And then in season 5 of 24, I believe it was 5, maybe 6, they all kind of run together.
Yep.
Especially since I watch it on DVD, and I usually spend about 3 days per season, so... but yeah, Peter Weller, renowned actor right there. So
for sure, he is going to be a disgruntled cop.
Okay. Is he going to be a serial killer disgruntled cop?
It's possible. Okay. I'm pretty sure he might be the bad guy this season.
Well, he's no John Lithgow.
He's not, but he did team with John Lithgow in a movie.
Neither of them are any Lundy. Just throw that out there.
Not false.
A big Lundy fan?
Lundy was awesome.
Yeah, Lundy was pretty awesome.
He's not the bad guy in any season, per se.
Doesn't have
kind
to be
of the
bad
second
guy.
Season, I guess.
It was
not exactly.
Who was really the bad guy in the second season, though? Dexter?
That chick?
The chick,
are you
yeah.
guys crazy? Oh. I mean, Lundy.
No, I just kept trying to think of her name.
Well, Lundy was... Oh. Marla?
No.
No. Why don't I know this? I've seen this.
Let's season. Move on.
Yeah. The chick from season 2 who was naked all the time. She was the bad guy.
Yes. Absolutely, she was.
That's not moving on at all.
We're going back to Dexter, though. You missed the rest of our casting. We were talking about Sean Hootsie from... The Faculty and Alpha Dog.
I think it's Hattisey.
Hattisey. And then Johnny Lee Miller, you're a big Hackers fan.
Yep. Hackers, yeah, woo.
Maybe not. I misread you from earlier, apparently.
Oh, I like Hackers, and I like Johnny Lee Miller, but I'm not like a big Hackers fan where it's like, oh, this kid from Hackers is going to be in Dexter? I'm watching every episode 5 times. I just happened to know who it was.
Generally, you do watch Dexter by watching every episode 5 times, though. So it just won't be for Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah. Also, weird casting is that... Julie Benz will actually be in this season. I don't know how or why she's going to be in this season, though.
A lot of this season?
I'm going to guess no.
Yeah, okay.
But again, I don't know for sure. I just know she is in a few episodes, or at least an episode.
Well she's got to at least be a dead body, right?
True. That might be it, because the season does pick up that exact day. Like, later on that day, they're like, and we're off.
Yeah.
So.
Or Dexter does sometimes see ghosts, so it's not completely...
Yeah, I have to assume. You know, she'll be hanging out with Harry.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. The ropes on the couch. You're an idiot. What's
only,
going on?
Only if Harry hates her.
I'm sure he will. You ruined my son's life. How about that?
When is Dexter starting back?
It always starts in September, usually the third weekend.
Okay. Believe I asked you that last podcast. I will probably ask you next podcast and every podcast up till sometime in November when I start watching it.
If there's more Dexter news. Michael C. Hall's cancer is remission. That's good news.
That's very good. That's good.
They're filming now, so.
Excellent, excellent. Psych is back.
Yes, first
Psych
episode.
Psych started. I know J-Raz and I are very happy about that political agenda. You don't care much, do you?
At all.
Well, you're missing out.
Yeah. It's
probably.
Yeah.
It always looked like a show I could like, but I never cared to.
It's awesome. What I didn't like about last season, I mean, I loved last season, but what I didn't like was they kind of went away from the witty banter between the two main characters, Sean and Gus, but... this episode is pretty much an hour of that.
Yeah, nothing but those two. And that's I think Psych is at its best when those two are working together. A lot of times they're foils for each other. You know, Gus is way too straight-laced. Well, I say two. I mean, it's part of the character. But, you know, doesn't always mesh with the goofiness of Sean. And sometimes they're just pitted right against each other. But when they're on the same page and they're moving forward towards a goal and they both just have that... basically insane comedy to them. And man, is that when the show is at its highest point. And boy, was that in full force bringing the season back.
I was a huge fan of the scene when they first go into the karate studio where Gus just starts calling the guy like a racist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which water fountain am I allowed to use?
He said, because Sean always puts those ridiculous fake names on Gus and those identities that he just makes up on the spot. And Gus set a rule out this episode that he has to give 3 days prior notice for any fake identities he wants to go through, and Gus has to give full approval on it. Otherwise, Gus gets to make his own up. So, they go into this karate studio, and Gus decides he's a lawyer and just starts running this guy, and it's just a great scene. If you haven't seen the episode, go check it out. And they also had... they had a side character running through where they had hired
Kenny.
They had hired an assistant of Asian descent because they thought they were going to start getting a lot more work, and instead they ended up getting a lot less work, so they had to let him go. But
after
the whole episode was about triad kidnapping. So they keep going to Kenny for all this information on triads and the Chinese language, and he's totally just this American-born kid of Chinese heritage who has no idea about any of this stuff and doesn't want to see these guys, and it's funny every time.
Yeah, that was like
definitely a great episode.
And then Sean takes a karate class, or a Mushu class.
Mushu, which sounds delicious.
Karate master, or Mushu master.
Yeah, and then another other cable show news, well, not news really, Leverage is running strong. You've been nothing but happy with the season. I'm still a little bit behind on it. I know that the last season wasn't as entertaining as the first was. It kind of got a little too over the top from time. Still enjoyable. I mean, it kept my attention the entire way through, but it definitely felt a little more like they were trying too hard, and apparently that's gone this season.
Yeah, no, they're a lot more into, like, my problem, I don't think Nathan, the main character, I guess they're all kind of main characters, but the main brains of the operation, is very good when he's playing the goofy characters. I think that's much better for the chick, that's her main job, is to play the different characters, and even Hardison, when he does it, is really good. But he just always took me out of it every time. And they were just so over the top and so goofy, and none of the cons made sense, and nothing was realistic. I mean, it's one of those shows you have to suspend disbelief to the nth degree, but this season they're back to actually having good mystery-type things and good everything, you know? So can't complain at all about this season so far.
Definitely got to catch up on those as soon as possible. Also, I know I finally caught up on Memphis Beat.
Sorry to hear that.
that show's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm pretty happy with it so far. I know you've been.
Maybe I gave up too soon.
Well,
maybe about it. Like, there's no reason you shouldn't like that show.
It's not good.
I've seen the same episodes you saw when you gave up, though. I haven't seen a ton more because a ton more aren't out yet. I've it's not my favorite cop show of all time. It's not even my favorite Jason Lee show of all time. I did spend the first 2 weeks of its existence referring to it as Earl P.I.
I'd watch that show. He grew the mustache back, and he was Earl, and Randy was with him.
Randy was back, but...
The show's good.
Yeah,
it's
not
a great cop show. Like, they just kind of resolve things.
Yeah. That was my thing. It wasn't really a mystery. It was him talking to people.
Do you watch CSI?
No.
No? Then why do you care?
Because, I don't know, I need a mystery. I mean, Psych at least has decent mysteries occasionally.
Well, but it's not a mystery show, really. Well,
And it hasn't had enough episodes to not have something decently occasionally.
I don't know.
But I will point out that they have definitely had their, what is going on here moments, and the, the big detective resolves at the end where Jason Lee always seems to be a step above everybody. That's totally present in the show.
Mm-hmm. And it's awesome.
Maybe if DJ Qualls was in it more.
you just always...
Another problem that really is, it's not a problem because it shouldn't be a problem. It's not a problem because it is there. He is in that
last
funny.
Week's episode, he was like the main character.
Maybe I gave up too soon.
Or maybe this week's character.
I couldn't get into it, and I tried. I gave it 3 episodes, maybe. But I couldn't quite get through
all
of it.
You said you didn't like that show after the first one aired.
That's true. That's very true. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm going to keep trying. Yep. But I couldn't, and I don't. So... One show that I should have watched and still haven't is Justified. I haven't seen the end yet.
Justified's so good. I never finished the season. Why? I can't say never.
I'm like, this is a great season. Let's all stop halfway through.
Yeah. Well,
to be fair, it's John's fault.
Okay.
PBA's fault.
PBA, okay.
This guy.
PBM.
PBM, whatever.
No. Political Agenda and I were watching the season as it went together, and then I had the audacity to move out of that apartment. So now they're still sitting on my DVR waiting to be watched, but just haven't had the opportunity to get together and do that.
They're still on your DVR?
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to go. You cut that DVR.
Yeah. Well, I guess technically they're not on that, but I have them.
Okay. They're still on my DVR, and I haven't gone back to watch it.
Well, then it's not your fault, then. I take that back.
Okay.
It's a communal thing for not making the time to do it.
Yeah.
Although I didn't realize that you had them.
You know, sometimes this podcast is about movies and TV, and sometimes this podcast is just simply about us. And I think this is what people really want to hear.
Why can't you guys get together to watch an hour-long drama?
Especially when it's sort of our vocation is to do exactly that.
That's all good. All
right. Well, we're nearing the end of the show, but real quick, let's talk about just a couple of Emmy categories that have come out. When are the Emmys coming on, Jay?
I have no idea.
All right. No.
I just wanted to find the nominations to the main ones. I didn't even go through the individual. These are just the drama, comedy, and variety.
Yeah. Well, we'll do the rundown real quick there. Outstanding drama. This year's nominations are Lost, which was a tremendous season, a very good ending. Breaking Bad, still haven't seen. I've heard nothing but good about, though. Dexter was amazing.
It will never win. It never wins.
No, but, you know, a show like Dexter, I think a nomination is a win, you know. Usually if you're not, like...
A Showtime show?
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly, yeah, specifically. You know, it doesn't have a very broad audience.
Like Showtime, Showtime throws a party for it.
Yeah.
They do, probably.
I'm sure they do.
Mad Men will win again.
Very good show, you know... I hear the distaste in your voice, and
because it wins every year.
Exactly, it's that's what I was going like, to. I was going to second for that very notion. You know, I like that show a lot, but I don't think it's always the best show on TV if it ever has been by any means. You know, it's just kind of one of those. It's the fad.
Yeah.
You know, well, we're sure Mad Men was really good this year, so let's mark the X here.
Anybody watch it? No.
What's the name of the star of that show?
John Hamm.
Yeah. You going to tell John Hamm you lost? I'm not going to.
You know, I never thought of it that way. That's a good call.
I'm just saying.
True Blood is also on there. That's a great, great, everyone should watch that show.
Yeah,
whether you like anything or not. Whether you like vampires or not.
Whether you like anything or not. It's awesome. Watch True Blood.
And season two was outstanding. Season three is being just as good. It's kind of gotten away from what it started because it was a show about Louisiana and stuff, and now they're just all over the country pretty much. There's werewolves now and everything's happening, so... Still just a great show, though. Love it. And The Good Wife, which never seen a single second of that show. Why it's nominated, I have no idea.
Harumph.
I had to get a woman in there.
I guess so.
It's a whole show.
You know, it's not just that I haven't seen the show. It's that I don't know what the show is about, and I don't know anyone who's seen it. It just doesn't seem like it should be that big, you know?
What it's about is...
Well, let's real quick run down the Outstanding Comedy list.
Okay.
We're running out of time for the episode. All right, Outstanding Comedy is nominated this year. Glee,
Which is a dramedy.
Glee, Modern Family,
yes.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, Nurse Jackie, what?
I like Nurse Jackie.
30 Rock and The Office. 30 Rock and The Office, I think, are just mainstays of the category.
30 Rock wins every year.
Yeah. I'll say deservedly so, more so than most shows that win every year. But again, I'd like to see something else get a chance.
I bet Glee takes it this year.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. You mentioned it being a dramedy, sort of, yeah, but comedy musicals always kind of bunch together anyway, so that's definitely the category for it. I definitely wouldn't put it in drama by any means myself, you know.
Yeah.
Modern Family, I'm super happy to see on this list.
I wish How I Met Your Mother was back on it.
Yeah, that would be nice. But Modern Family, being such a new show and such a big hit, it's really nice to see it get the chance, so... next week's episode, or in 2 weeks, whenever we come back, we'll go through a bigger rundown of the Emmy nominations and talk about when the show is actually going to be, unless it's in a week or two, in which case we'll talk about the results. But for now, we'll call that an episode. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, leave your feedback. For J-Raz and Political Agenda, I am Legion, and thanks for listening to the Entertainment Center on PopCultureNetwork.com.
Red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's an oil barge winding down the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's an oil barge winding down the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. Cleveland, city of light, city of magic. Cleveland, city of light, you're calling me. Cleveland, even now I can remember. Cause the Cuyahoga River goes smoking through my dreams. Burn on, big river, burn on. Burn on, big river, burn on. Now the Lord can make you tumble, the Lord can make you turn, the Lord can make you overflow, but the Lord can make you burn. Burn on, big river, burn on. Burn on, big river, burn on.